Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining us today. Have you noticed how difficult it is to have deep, meaningful conversations these days? Well, we are going to begin to uncover why we are struggling to communicate what is really in our hearts. Psalm 94 says, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul." So join in the conversation as we uncover the challenge of conversation. Janie, I have a question.
All right.
Just to start this off right, do you find it difficult to engage people in deep, meaningful conversations that promote thought-provoking, soul-searching interaction?
Well, I find that in the age that we are living in, that we have been divinely called and placed in, that depth is something that is unknown. It's not secure. Depth requires energy. It requires not feeling good, because you need to get in and contemplate and meditate. And our minds are too busy, and we're too busy for that.
So do you think that it causes people to be anxious, or they struggle for the energy and the ability to have those kinds of conversations?
Yes, because Sharon, anything unknown is scary.
Okay.
Right now, our society is giving us so many unknowns, so many multiple choices, of which the data and facts then prove they're all incorrect, and they are overwhelmed.
Okay. Too much information.
Too much information.
Okay. So the reason why we're not having these kinds of conversations, and we're going more general, we're having more surfacey kind of feel-good conversations, is because it takes too much energy to go deep.
Well, so let's go back to your educational process. Did you not have a class where the teacher started to teach you things that you had never heard before, and you were trying to assimilate it? And maybe somebody else was getting the understanding in the class, and so they were elaborating, and you sat there and you thought, how dumb am I?
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I've been there. I think the class was called algebra.
Oh, and to my day, I'm really not sure why X plus Y equals Z, and I'm glad that it's been figured out by others, and they tell me I appropriate that every day of my life. I just don't still understand the formula. But I'm so glad that I am behaving correctly in something that I don't understand.
Right. Right. Okay.
And so with that in mind, I think a lot of people are just surviving, and the Word of God gives us life, it gives us hope, it gives us understanding, it gives us wisdom, it gives us God who created us.
Right.
And He is able to then impart Himself to us as we wait on Him. But Sharon, we don't have time to wait on Him.
Right.
And besides, we have been taught salvation, 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 and praise God for salvation, because life wouldn't be worth living without it.
Right.
But we do have to grow up. Salvation is not the ultimate for the Christian. It is the front door to the beginning of a new life, eternal life. And the Lord has given us so many different resources. Have you ever misappropriated a resource that you've been given? Have you been given some kind of gift, and maybe you misused it, or maybe you didn't use it for the right purpose?
Yes, I believe I have.
Well, we don't need to elaborate on your lacks.
Okay.
Because that's what society is doing right now. We are looking at everything that's going wrong, and our brains are so full, we don't have time to look at what's going right.
Okay.
This morning when I was getting ready to come to the studio, I was listening to the radio, and I heard a little course, and it just really stuck out to me. And it says, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we are excited and we do want to evangelize and we do want to get people saved.
Right, okay.
Because once we are, we need to then come apart and be separated so that we know how to listen to the voice of God. But the verse in this little course says, you talk about people. You talk about things that aren't important at all. You talk about weather. You talk about problems we have here at home and abroad. But dear friend, I'm excited about a solution for the world, and I'm going to sing and shout, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. And when we come together nowadays, Sharon, whether it's at church, whether it's over a meal, whether it's out at a gathering, we seem to be concentrating on what media is brainwashing us with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 99% negative.
Right.
So our hearts are being filled with the negatives, and we don't know how to combat an overabundance of negatives. It weighs us down. It overwhelms us.
So that's part of why we try to stay very surfacey and not get into any deep conversations.
Yes. And then let's just say we're students of the Word. And we don't want to go prying too deep because it may come out in our conversation that we're judging them.
Oh.
In other words, if I say, Sharon, mm-hmm. by the way, I really like what you're wearing today, but let me talk to you about where you're lacking. I mean, that's right. Not going to win brownie points.
Okay.
And that is going to trigger something in you that has been given to you as a gift, your conscience. And the conscience is not something that will argue with you.
Okay.
Your brain will argue with you. Your mind will argue. Your mind will rationalize. Your mind will give you opinions, perceptions, processes.
Okay, but not your conscience.
Your conscience is going to say yes or no. You are acquitted or you're guilty.
So it's an absolute.
It is an absolute. And I think maybe where we might want to start today is let's just go to Romans 2. This verse changes lives, but not always through a happy process. And so in Romans 2, it says, you are inexcusable, you who are to judge, for whatever in you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same thing. Well, when I read that verse, I realize that when I don't like something, and Sharon, I'm going to use you and I as an example,
okay.
All right? So we don't offend anybody or mm-hmm. they draw conclusions that we're talking about them when
right.
we're not.
Right.
So Sharon, if there's something I don't like about you, then I have to say, why do I not like that? Well, I may have some understanding in some place where you're blind, but the fact that it's upsetting me is my conscience is talking to me. My conscience is letting me see something in you that I have in myself, but I'm blind to it. So the Lord allows me to have you as a friend, or maybe it's our spouse, or maybe it's our children, or maybe mm-hmm. it's our friends at church. But it's something that aggravates me, frustrates me, infuriates me. It gives me a negative response. My conscience is awakening me that I see that in you because it's in me. Well, my conscience doesn't say, do you want to negotiate this? Do you want to talk about it? No, the conscience says, you're guilty. Oh, Sharon, that makes me really feel bad because I didn't really think that I had that problem. I thought you had the problem. But no, I've got the problem. So now I've got to deal with it. But now I'm dealing with a conscience that says, you're wrong. Absolute.
Okay.
It doesn't negotiate.
So when I see something wrong in you, and I don't listen to my conscience, that it's actually me. So that's why I point the finger at you and get all mad at you and point out all your faults, because my conscience is telling me that I'm guilty of that. So instead of dealing with it in myself, then I push that off on you. Does that dull my conscience? Is that how the conscience gets dulled or seared?
Seared is probably a little extreme at this point, but that's how the conscience begins to turn off.
Okay.
So let's just say I see something in you and I'm thinking, oh, Father, I recognize that she's not aware of that. I am aware of it because I've probably already been there and dealt with my conscience, and my conscience is saying, green light, no problem. But what does the conscience then tell me to do, and what does my heart desire? Because the heart and the conscience are definitely intertwined. Oh, Father, give me an opportunity at your time to be able to encourage her to see where she's blind. But Father, you've told me to be gentle and apt to teach, so I just can't come in and say, you know, Sharon, you're really blind there. That's going to wound and further damage. So then a good, clear, clean conscience can then say, Lord, you've given me this insight, and now you're giving me the privilege to help to be a part of the restorative process.
So it goes back to your heart and how you're hearing your conscience.
Yes.
So let's say we're not listening to our conscience, then we're condemning someone else. And then we cause our own conscience to turn off.
Yes, yes. You have to listen to your conscience. You have to listen to it, because okay, that is the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us.
So you're telling me that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our conscience?
Yes. And this little nugget of the conscience is pure gold, and we're substituting it for other things. So then we get perplexed, and I've had several people lately, because of being overwhelmed with information, to where they have said, I'm backsliding and I don't know why, because I don't want to. It's not like I want to go out and party and go with the way of world. They're getting overwhelmed in their spirit, in their emotions, in their heart.
Oh, okay. And then that crowds the conscience and makes it hard for us to hear it.
That's right. And in the Old Testament, Sharon, the heart encompassed the mind, will, and emotions. If we don't understand how the conscience functions, then when it is functioning correctly, but making us feel bad, either from true guilt or false guilt, then we get self-focused. Why am I feeling so bad? Because I've been walking in the Spirit. Joy floods my soul. There's been ministry. I'm happy. I'm wanting to serve. I'm wanting to give. And now I'm wanting to go crawl over in the corner because I feel so bad. And I don't know why.
So that's our conscience telling us something.
Yes, that's right. The conscience is for discerning morally right from wrong.
All right.
So if I'm accusing you of something, then the conscience is going to let me know if my accusation has a basis for me to intercede and discern, or if it is a rendering of where I am blind and I am wrong and the Lord's using you as a tool to show me.
So how do we distinguish which one it is?
A lot of it depends on how we choose to respond.
So it's a matter of the heart.
Is that the first time we've ever said that on the show? It's always a matter of the heart. But okay, Sharon, the conscience really is helping a person to resist wrong. And that's what we are discussing right now.
Oh, right.
It's showing us how to resist what's not right. And when I don't have a heart of love for you, then that should be a warning sign. When my being with you as sisters in Christ, one, knowing how the Lord wants us to work as sisters in Christ, with Him being our head, and something other is happening, even in us just forming opinions, siren going off, conscience working.
Right.
But it always makes us feel bad. And by the way, just to flip back over to the Old Testament, God gave the Old Testament saints His consciousness. He called them as a nation. He gave them His presence. They had a God consciousness, but it always made them feel bad. So they started to then to discern what God was according to their own interpretation.
So then they began to reject God because that made them feel bad. So that could be why we reject some of what God says in His Word, because it makes us feel bad. And that's really a good thing, because That's what the conscience does for us to help us see wrong.
And we can go here a little bit further, but let me just interject a sentence here. Pain is marvelous. It's a gift from God.
What, Janie?
Yeah, I know. That's why I have to do a lot of talking, because I have to explain my extreme statements, Sharon. But let's just be real general. A leper feels no pain. The nerves are destroyed.
Oh.
They don't feel pain. And so what can happen? They can walk on cut glass and feel no pain.
And then bleed to death.
That's right. Or get a massive infection and then die from the infection.
Okay.
Pain is a gift. But when we see it as something that makes us uncomfortable, we will go to any extreme to dull that pain. Now, I'm very grateful for painkillers under certain situations, but the painkillers that we need to be concentrating on is going to the Lord and saying, let me be quiet so I can hear your voice, because you're the healer of all pain.
Okay, so I'm maybe going to take us on
a rabbit trail,
but I have a question. So if we're all given a conscience at birth, and we start developing that conscience as we grow, and our parents are teaching us right from wrong, is this why the attack came on disciplining our children here about, I don't know, 30 years ago?
Well, it goes back a lot more than 30 years, but what the enemy was trying to do was to tell us that absolutes are a bad thing in raising your children.
So I guess my point in saying that is that there's this new way of teaching children today that has gone to a little bit of an extreme, in my opinion, that we just allow kids to be whatever they want to be and do whatever they want to do, because we want to allow their creativity to flow, and there's no training of their conscience of right and wrong.
Sharon, if we allow our children to just go any way that they want to, because they need to have the freedom to decide, and we as parents are going to give them plenty of room to do what they want to do, that is a strong siren red light that the conscience is going to say that's not going to work, and that's going to produce conflict in the parent's spirit as well as in the children, and now they're going to have conflict between one another, and they don't recognize the root problem. Their conscience is giving them a warning signal, and here's why. You cannot let a child that is born with an old nature decide what it's going to do, be, influence.
Okay.
It will destroy itself because of the sin nature that we are all born with. We're born with a conscience, yes, but we are also born with a sin nature, and that conscience has to be trained.
Okay.
And it has to be trained according to truth. And the thing of it is, the conscience will never argue with you. It either says guilty or not guilty, but oh, Sharon, how our mind will argue.
Right.
How our mind will justify and rationalize anything that causes us not to have conflict. And parents and children don't naturally just want to be at each other's throats. But because there is the flesh, the old nature, and we are being redeemed, and many people have not been redeemed, or we have been redeemed, which means we have been bought back out of our bondage, and we are in Jesus Christ, so we do have freedom. But Sharon, we don't understand what freedom is. Freedom is not necessarily comfort.
Okay.
Freedom is the ability to walk according to the calling, the design, the purpose that God has given us, each one uniquely. And that takes a lot of training.
Okay.
Yeah, that I know. That's probably going to take another broadcast or so, right?
Well, it makes sense to me that's why this whole new way of training has come about, because the conscience is so important in our walk with the Lord. If we're ignoring the conscience and dulling the conscience, then we're dulling our hearing. And you had said that a few weeks ago in one of our conversations. You talked about how sometimes we'll pretend. Mm. And when we pretend that we know somebody, or we pretend that we have it all together, or any of that kind of pretending causes our conscience to dull.
Yes.
Because
yes.
we're ignoring our conscience. And so in these little areas of our life, we are ignoring our conscience and therefore becoming dull of hearing. And this could be why we're having a hard time having these meaningful, deep conversations that inspire us to grow closer to the Lord.
Well, and when you ignore the conscience, you are ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit. You are ignoring the truth that is in the Word of God. It's all tied together. And I just find that the conscience is like that missing piece of a beautiful, beautiful puzzle. Not that it's not there and it's not working. It's just we don't understand. Now, I can joyfully say that I don't understand much of your job of being the production manager. I wish I did. And you have schooled me in some things, but my ignorance can cause you and I some devastation. And we won't elaborate with that on air, but I will just tell you that my heart is so grateful to Sharon for how God has gifted her. And yet, you know, Sharon, if I'm in the flesh, I could get really irritated at some of the things you require of me. Does that relate? Do you think the listening yes. audience can understand that concept?
Well, I hope so, because right. I think it happens in every relationship that we'll have things that frustrate us about the other person.
Sharon, before we give the conscience a bad reputation to where nobody wants to learn about it, because it always makes us feel bad if we are in the wrong, and we usually are, let's do a flip and just say, here is the joy of when a conscience is operating correctly.
Okay.
It saves relationships. It heals marriages. It restores sister and brother relationships. And it restores parents with children. All right. It's key. So again, there is such joy when we are willing to accept the role of the conscience, because it is saying, yes, I'm taking something negative, but by the power of God and the purpose of God in giving you a conscience, it will totally turn lives around. It will totally heal. And Sharon, that not only is bringing spiritual healing in a relationship, it brings physical healing, because the body is no longer at war mm-hmm. with itself.
Okay.
Because there are functions that the Lord has programmed into our DNA, and when we don't follow the way He's created us, it affects us physically. I know people today who are in bondage health-wise because they won't listen to their conscience.
I know I should, but this is why I don't.
Or I still have this problem, but it is still somebody else's fault, because I'm reliving what I can't forgive
okay.
because I haven't listened to my conscience.
Okay.
And now it's so dull that it doesn't speak anymore.
Okay.
So what happens
scary,
when
scary, Janie.
Yeah, but here's the hope. Let me
okay.
end this with hope.
Okay.
We confess. We acknowledge. We trust. And we correct, because we now understand the role, and the Lord wipes the slate clean, and our depression, our despondency turns to joy that somebody thinks we're drunk with new wine.
So it takes confession,
acknowledgement, and repentance. And we're on a new slate. The Lord so comes in and wipes everything out, and we will know when the same thing happens again. And we respond joyfully in the power of the Spirit the way Jesus Christ would respond. We know we're set free.
All right, Janie. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.